Welcome to the Mosh Pit, your home for unsigned punk, rock, and metal artists, where your music goes to be heard.
All right, welcome to the Mosh Pit. Your host, Wes Everett, and I'm here with the band Saved by Scarlet. Guys, go ahead and introduce yourself. Tell everybody a little bit about you.
All right, I'm Alex. I'm the rhythm guitarist. I enjoy playing music. I enjoy spending time with friends. And I love coffee.
That's a good thumbnail, Alex. My name is Matt Middleton. I'm one of the core members of Saved by Scarlet. I started it with my brother Nate Middleton and our previous drummer. I am currently the lead guitarist and production manager, and I also help with some other various things like lights, some audio engineer work, and minor networking. And then Nate will share more about his role.
The Rum Kicks, I Don't Want to Die.
How's it going, everybody? I'm Nate Middleton. I love being a part of Saved by Scarlet. We love to rock the heck out, and we absolutely love doing all kinds of different music, ranging from hard rock to metal to powerful, meaningful ballads that really go beneath the surface. And we love doing what we do, man. And we're located in North Smithfield, Rhode Island. I do lead vocals and sometimes help out with other things like merch coordination and networking. And yeah, we're glad to be on the Mosh Pit today.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Man, thank you guys for sitting in with me. Been looking forward to doing this one for a while and really glad our schedules could match up.
Yeah, me too, man. I've heard a lot of good things about this, the Mosh Pit. And if the Mosh Pit itself is anything like its shirts, it's good quality.
Here's to hoping everybody feels that way. That is my goal in life. So let's start with, I'm going to get to you guys' shows here in a few minutes, but I want to know a little bit more about the band. How did you come up with the band name and how did you guys get together?
Nate, you want to take this one away?
Sure. So, I mean, the band name, essentially, we were originally tossing with the idea of Rising Ashes and Fireproof. We were just kind of messing around on Facebook, trying to figure out what, you know, had a nice ring to it, what would kind of work with our theme. And really, we were looking for a name that would empower people, and something that would not only empower people, but speak a little bit below the surface, really into people's lives, and give them a reason to want to rock out and have fun, you know? So our mission was really to come up with something that would do just that. And one of the most influential parts of my life, and also my brothers, and I know several others in this band, has been, you know, the Bible. And it's helped me through some really, really tumultuous times. And I consider a truth in my life. So I was reading one night, and I was just thinking about, you know, what could we do in this band to really speak to people and to be able to speak with people after concerts and open that door, you know, to conversation that goes beneath the surface. And so I started thinking about hope. You know, people in this day and age, they're longing for hope. And one of the things that really spoke to me in the book of Joshua is where the prophets actually go into Jericho and they're spies. And they're looking to basically run from the armed guards that were there at the time. And they're trying to gather information. And so they actually dip into this woman's room, and she's a prostitute, and they didn't know this. They were just looking for, you know, safety. And she's like, "Who are you? What are you doing?" And they say, we're messengers from God. And they were like, "We come in peace." And they asked her basically to help them. And so she agreed, and she risked her life doing that. And so she hid them from the armed guards that were chasing after them, and they escaped, and they were not, you know, they were not harmed. Before they left, they said, "If you throw a scarlet rope out your window, the Lord will save you and your family." And it was just amazing, you know, to see that, because it was really a foretelling of what Jesus would die on the cross and pay for the remission of sins, you know, and the Bible refers to his blood being poured out as scarlet colored. So thus the name Saved by Scarlet. Rahab and her family, which depicted humanity, was saved by scarlet. And it has a nice ring to it. And we just added in a K instead of a C in the word scarlet. And it shows up on Google number one every time since we did that. So that was a good marketing decision as well.
Yeah.
We also love the color scarlet, and we love the color black. So, you know, it just all, honestly, it worked around all around so well. And our guitars are even scarlet and black and white. So it worked together beautifully.
The Lost Chords, If You're Okay.
We've never gone, but the streets are unpaved and the lights are always on. And on that twisty road you'll see all roads lead back to you and me. I'd give you the stars today if they were mine to give away. I'd give you the world to stay, but I need to know where you are and if you're okay. In an empty past, you were forced to last. Now you're nervous about the servers and the glances that were cast. There were sweet goodbyes and the wretched skies. We were running 4 miles from your fields and my lane. From your fields and my lane. I'd give you the stars today, and if they were mine to give away, I'd give you the world to stay, but I need to know where you are
Guys, get your inspiration for the songs you write? You guys just released a new one and killer track. You want to tell us about it and how the inspiration came about for it?
Oh, are you talking about The Syndrome, the official music video that we put out when it was on the album?
Yes, sir.
Oh, that's a good one, my man. I'll let Matt or Alex take that one.
Matt, yeah. Do you want this one?
Yeah, I can take this one for sure. So The Syndrome actually started as a melody that I felt like God gave to me, and I started going with the melody and everything, and it sounded really really catchy and really good. We liked it, but it needed more. It really needed just a lot more. And so Nate came alongside me and helped put together what viewers now see as the finalized Syndrome. And we love the way it came out. It essentially began as a journey that I've been through medically. I've had a lot of different like symptomology, medical stuff that has really kind of haunted my life, really. It seemed to always be chasing me down one thing after another, but God really set me free of that. And he really, really broke the chains that were meant to hold me. And it's been a really, really amazing journey. I'm glad I've gone through it because it's made me incredibly strong, I feel. But nevertheless, we like to acknowledge that, you know, the trouble and the trial is there because we don't want people to feel unheard or unseen, you know, especially when they're going through medical issues. And the irony with The Syndrome is we actually began writing the storyboard for The Syndrome's music video around the exact time that the pandemic started breaking out, but it was coincidental and it was unplanned. And so it was kind of powerful that we were able to pull it off, but somehow we were able to pull it off. And I wrote the storyboard for it, and Nate wrote most of the live action shots when it came to like the band part, and I did most of the storyboard stuff. And of course, Alex, it was his first, one of his second times even meeting us, I believe. He had been practicing Saved by Scarlett's music, and he got to feature with us
The third time. Second time meeting. No, that was the first time meeting the whole band. I've met Nate, surprisingly, at the show that's coming up, Rock the Block, and then it just kind of went from there. So that was actually the first music video I had very short amount of time to learn that song, and I had to seriously like nail it in almost a month or under a month. It was a very fun experience too. We had a lot of fun doing it. We had a blast.
It was awesome.
One of the best experiences of my life.
Yeah, he did fantastic. But that's kind of the story with the syndrome. The inspiration really does come from a place of medical symptomology, really. So for just to give some example, like pneumonia or even something as simple as allergies or anxiety, depression, cancer is a big one. Obviously the coronavirus. And that's really what the topic of the song is about, but it's about how Jesus died on the cross, not only to heal us of our spiritual abnormalities, or I should say our spiritual lacking thereof, but he also came to heal the sick and to bind up the brokenhearted, to heal, in other words. And we believe that quite literally.
Yeah, that's it's a good message, and it's a great song.
Yeah, we love that. We love doing that song. Honestly, man, that song gets some good mosh pits, especially with that driving like intro without and then going into halftime. It just like honestly has so many intricate parts and stuff. Learning that as a band and like messing around with it honestly took months to get down, like a lot of work.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fun to play on guitar. It's fun to sing. I'm pretty sure Adam has a good time on drums with that too.
He does. That is definitely the hardest.
That's killer, man. So let's go back to the show on May 1st with Disciple. How was that? How did that go?
Man, that was awesome. Alex, you want to share about that one, man?
Okay, so, well, actually, that was, that would have been my first actual big show. And honestly, it was a blast. We had a lot of fun doing it. Shout out to, Kevin, if he's watching this. But, so basically we went on. We rocked out that whole entire show. I think the only issue was, I don't think there was enough ports. So we actually didn't have the cabs mic'd up. So we had to like turn up the volume and tilt them. Cause Nick can actually explain that one a little bit better than I can. I was kind of just chilling with that.
Basically, we had a curveball thrown at us, but really what matters is that we got through it, and honestly, it was sick regardless. But yeah, bottom line, we didn't have mic'd guitars, which was very disappointing, and we didn't have a mic'd kick, which is also really disappointing, because that is like our specialty.
Lose the backtrack too?
But, you know, we had everything else, though, which was we had the background vocals, lead vocals, and the backtrack and whatnot, but... Sometimes that's how it is at shows, you know, you show up, something breaks or somebody's bored, doesn't have enough inputs, and you got to roll with it. And a lot of those people there, they didn't even realize that we had something missing that only we knew, you know, but it certainly makes a difference to a musician.
Undefeated Shadows.
We've been given a second life to live, a second chance to love. The twisted mirror that's poisoning. Shadows. This bitterness in my heart, headed down the front door. No place for you, where Jesus himself shines through. We're calling out what hides in the shadows.
We're used to being interrogated like with question after question, kind of like snowballing. So if there's any gaps of time, we just try to make sure that the interviewer has some time to ask what they want to ask, because we have a lot to say about our God.
I didn't want this to be like a heavy-handed, you know, question interview. I figured, you know, you guys got stories to tell from the road, from the shows, and our listeners love those. So
it's so true. Well, hey man, if I could add, you know, playing with Disciple was fantastic, and it's really surreal coming to a point where we're actually performing with bands that I used to listen to growing up. I mean, it's really incredible. The Letter Black, Disciple, Red, well, not Red, sorry. I meant Spoken from, and Matt Bayard from Spoken. Just some like very big names. And we're very, very excited about where the Lord's taking us with that. And there's more too. I'd have to look at our rap sheet of stuff. Oh, yeah. But off the top of my head, those are the ones that really meant a lot to me. That for the Fall was another one, actually. It's just incredible, man. Like, to think that like we listened to these bands and they were our inspiration, and now we're performing kind of like with them. Mm-hmm. Really nuts.
Yeah, I'm so excited about the Letter Black, honestly, because like their hit Hanging On By a Thread in the early 2000s was huge. That's what blew them up. And to be able to like perform with Megan on the same stage is
You know, I was just looking at that. That's actually one of the bands I was looking for to see if you had played with them, because we did an interview with the Letter Black a couple months ago.
Oh, no way.
And I'll be honest with you. That was really one of my high points. Cause again, that was one of those bands that I grew up listening to, you know, just out of high school looking for new music. And I stumbled across them through other bands. And when I sent an email, I'll be honest, I was like, they ain't gonna answer. And 2 or 3 days later, I get a response. Yeah, we'd love to. Hey.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That is awesome. River, wow, dude, that's amazing that they actually responded.
There's been so many doing this. This has opened so many doors. I don't mean to take over this interview, but I'm going to for a minute because it's my show.
Go for it.
You know, I've gotten to interview a couple of really cool bands that, you know, you look at and they're way up here and it's like, nah, there's no chance of me getting them. And Nikki Stringfield, I don't know if y'all know her.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. We've had her on. We've had Fury, Becky Baldwin. And
dude, that's awesome.
Yeah. So, and I feel like getting the bigger bands along with the bands who are up and coming and really pushing and really making it, I feel like that's a good mix, because then you get the ones who are really well known and then the other guys who are like, dude, these guys are going to be huge.
Yeah, you see that potential in some. It's almost like the giants and then the minis. You see the minis and the potential that can, you know, bring them to a place where they become a giant. Or in the music world, it's like, you know, the big top tiers, Wage War and freaking Fit for a King, dude, and like some of these other bands that like rose to the top.
I mean, I'm not gonna get my hopes up and think I'm gonna get Metallica on here, but you know,
that would be awesome. Hey, shoot for the stars, right?
No, that's right. Let's talk about River Rock Music Festival 21, July 4th. Take us through that. What was the experience on that one like?
Oh my gosh, so that was actually July 3rd, but we did stay there until the next day, which was July 4th. So it was it was certainly an awesome two-day adventure. That was incredible. We've been uploading pictures, as I'm sure you've seen, with our smoke geysers, and they had like a giant LED screen with the band name in the background with our font and everything. It was just such an incredible experience to be on that stage, man. It was huge. It was big and spacious. It was beautiful. We could rock out and not have to worry about hitting each other, which was such a plus. And just to be able to do signings afterwards with so many fans, and to be able to you know, talk to a lot of new people from Maine was such a cool experience.
Honestly, one of my highlight parts from that was definitely in our song Conquerors. You have got to hear that one, my friend. That is our hit song. And,
oh, yeah, it's so good.
It's currently on over 80 radio stations, actually probably more by now. And it's going like places, seriously. And we haven't done an official music video for that one yet, but that one is next. And we did that song. It was our last song at River Rock. And highlight moment was definitely in this one part where we go into like this breakdown. And the Fog guys are shot on point. The bass drop was heavy. And it was just so chunky and awesome, man. Like, it was legit sick.
That's killer, man.
Yeah, like, I literally slammed my foot down on the riser. And the Fog guys are shot up at that exact moment. So, like, it just looks so insane.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. Yeah. I'm enjoying seeing all the pictures and videos coming from that event because it just looked like so much fun.
That was definitely my favorite performance of all time.
That was the best. I've ever played. Fog geysers were fun.
It was also really cool.
My first time. What's up?
Oh, I was just going to say, it was also really cool the fact that the audience was on like kind of like a mountain sort of deal. I thought that was really cool.
Nice.
That was actually my first time being around Fog geysers, and actually, like, that was my actual first huge performance, and that was insane for me. That was just mind-blowing. I still have a lot of firsts with this band. Like it's just insanity with this.
Well, that's cool, man. I mean, you know, I'm hoping to see you guys even more, you know, out there. I'd love to see y'all in Atlanta.
That'd be awesome, man.
That would be sick.
In one day, you never know.
Hey.
So you're stationed out of Atlanta right now?
Me? Yes.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. We've got connections to a few venues, so if you guys are looking to get down this way, I can see what I can open up for you.
That would be great. You said Atlanta, so that's in Georgia, right?
Right. We got the Masquerade, we got Mad Life, we've got Smith's Old Bar, Furnace 41. I'm leaving out a ton, but those are the ones like right off the top of my head. Those are the big boys down here.
Dude, that's I'm going to GPS this and see how far it is.
Let's look at what are your three goals for the band this year for the next 12 months?
Ooh, well, we're working on a lot of different parts of our new album, actually. So, like, currently we're writing and creating. We call it the creative initiative right now, actually, the period of time that we're in. So, like, our focus is to begin creating new songs, and God's been downloading a lot of new melodies in Alex's heart and lyrics in my mind and Nate's as well. And so we've been jamming a lot. So that's been one of the highlights right now. But also, every summer, we are booked out 2 gigs a month. So, you know, we'll be doing that for quite a few months during the summer. And then when fall comes, who knows what comes next.
Yeah. I totally get that.
Those are two things. Anyone want to add one?
Hopefully travel out a little bit more. Try and go beyond Maine out into beyond New Hampshire.
Nice.
It'd actually be the other way, unless we're going out of country, because that would end up going into Canada. but yeah, I think he means like.
Hey, I got friends in Canada who would love to see us.
Yeah, well, out of country right now is not possible due to COVID, but we would love to if that weren't a thing.
Yeah.
I think Matt nailed it on the head, you know, and Alex too. We would love to travel, and we'd love to accomplish some more goals, you know, with the album that we are currently working on. And also the side project for now is working on the Conquerors music video. I'm in contact with our videographer who did the Syndrome, and we're hoping to get that down because that is our most prominent song, and it's the one we're known for. So we definitely want to get a solid music video under our belt for that. And once that is done, we will, on a professional level, we will be really looking really, really spiffy. So we've also got these concerts this summer, you know, Soul Fest, which is going to be huge. And a couple others like River Rock, as you mentioned, which are great to have on the resume. So hopefully we can start leveling up. And we just got booked a main stage show at the Music Hall in Providence over here. So we should be able to, you know, leverage some bigger shows and get some really amazing opportunities. Hopefully that's definitely one of the goals.
Saved by Scarlet Conqueror.
Technical difficulties typically, you know, whenever you're using electronics. So I mean, hey, no worries.
Every show we've done, there's at least one or two things that don't usually go into our favor. We usually get through it, but there's always at least something.
Yeah. Music festivals are tough because you've got so many people and so many artists and everything. It's almost like notorious for music festivals to have that stuff happen, but yeah, it's certainly a learning curve. It always ends up so awesome though, regardless.
The one that we just did, I remember, we had like a 2-second sound check, and apparently, so while you two were doing, I think it was Fire Inside, or like the fourth song of the set, the sound guy comes out, he's like, so there's a lot of feedback coming through the sound system. You know, we got to switch out the amps. I'm like, we only have the Fender Stat, we only have
the crate,
the cabs that we brought. We only have our rig. That's it. And he's like, well, we got two Fender combo amps that we could pull out. I'm like, that's a Nate question.
No, that issue was not on our end.
And I go on stage right after, and I plug in. And not to mention, we forgot the pedal board. We forgot the pedal board as well, so we left that at the house. Nate had to, like, physically turn down, like, whenever the parts had to be turned down, he had to, like, physically turn them down. And,
this is music.
What else? This is literally music.
So, like, I couldn't hear myself. I couldn't hear what I was playing, and I was doing backup vocals. They turned down, I think they literally, like, it sounded like they almost like completely muted my monitor, and I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. I couldn't hear
myself. It was weird because it was going out. It just wasn't in your wedge. I'm not sure why, but that's usually what a sound check will help with. But we didn't exactly get a sound check. So.
I basically had to practically almost wing my whole entire set.
See,
you did great though.
For those who are listening, Alex is going through the perfect sifting process to see what he's made of, and I think he passed.
Yeah, winging your whole entire performance blind, I'm pretty sure that gets that's got to get some brownie points.
Well, to be honest with you, Alex, I used to actually practice with the band with the lights off, and sometimes, you know, we'd even practice without even being able to hear anything. And doing that just helps your brain rely heavily on muscle memory, which is essentially what you're going to, you know, be learning through this process, through your journey with the music career, is that a lot of times you won't be able to rely on other things. You'll have to rely on true muscle. Hope and grit.
I had no choice but to pull that out that night.
We're proud of you, buddy.
Definitely. When Satan puts you in a corner, you kind of have to like feel and search for the light, literally.
Well, we had a blast, man. And, you know, it was, even though there was, you know, some of these things that happened, I think that God is interested in seeing how, when his people are under fire and going through the fire, how they're going to respond, because our response is something he looks at, and not in a weird condemning way, but I believe God looks for a faithful response, like you had, Alex. Like, you didn't storm off stage or anything, you kept playing, and God, the Bible says he sees past the flesh and he sees the heart. And you know what, I think that he has a huge blessing in store for you for doing what was the right thing.
That in the crate was still it was still putting out natural sounds, so you still had that at least as a monitor.
Yeah, definitely. Baptism by fire on that one, huh?
Okay, that's kind of funny.
So other than, you know, those few things, what do you guys feel like is your biggest challenge as a band?
Honestly, probably our drummer living far, and schedules, you know, working with a schedule that can align perfectly so that we can have enough time and at the same time practice. But naturally, with a bunch of young adults who are, you know, starting out their lives, and you know, most of us are 22 to 25, 26. So, you know, that's probably the trickiest thing. Honestly, when we're on stage, we've done shows where we had literally almost nothing, and we've been able to bring such an awesome sound out of almost nothing. You know, we've had all kinds of experiences, big and small, So really, honestly, it's not even like the shows themselves. I would say it's more so the actual like getting to practice and everyone on the same time, same page, you know.
Yeah.
Well, even with practice, me and Nate just practiced yesterday. Even with just the two of us and the back track, it still sounds phenomenal.
Oh, yeah. Even just with a three-piece, it sounds so good.
Well, that's good, though. I mean, that's good that you guys are tight. Y'all are, you know, pretty much got it down at this point.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the opposite side of it, what do you guys feel is your biggest accomplishment as a band?
I would say bringing people to Christ through the music, honestly. Like, we've literally, like, witnessed people who gave their life to Christ. And I think that is one of the biggest accomplishments the band has done. Yeah, we could, like other bands, and this is not to cast shade or anything, but we could do the stereotypical thing of looking at, you know, how many heads are like following us on Facebook or how many likes we have, but our main goal is not how many people have heard of us, but how many people have encountered Christ. And it's really been a powerful experience. And to me, that's the most important thing, because we're all called to be kingdom builders, whether we want to acknowledge that fact or not. And one day I know that Saved by Scarlet will report to God and say, yep, we did our best and we had a hell of a great time doing it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I would definitely say, I don't know if you've heard of our song Surrender All, Wes, but it's definitely a fan favorite. It's slow. It has piano and electric guitars and drums that build up and build up and build up. And it's a power ballad that we created. And it's just extremely hard hitting. If you ever see us live, you'll definitely see that song. But it is just like, it's incredible, man. Like, everyone gets goosebumps from it, and it's just really impacting. And being able to talk to fans and everything afterwards and hear their story, you know, and their struggles, and just some really, it opens the door for really, really deep conversation that not just fans talk about, but family. And that is seriously one of our biggest goals, to continue doing that, because anyone that around here, anyone that hears about Saved by Scarlet, instantly, fans and friends and family all know instantly, wow, those are people who truly care about others, who actually literally take the time to talk about people, even still 3 a.m. and go out and do like outreach opportunities and like help people, homeless people. Like, it literally has been going on for 10 years now. And like, the name has literally just been attached to hope, helping bring hope to people. And that is seriously what we put in action. And I know a lot of people say that, but then they don't do it. But like, we're actually physically doing it. And it's incredible to have that goal actually start getting accomplished more and more and more. And bouncing off what Matt said, that is definitely one of the biggest goals, and it is working, and it is real, and people of all races and religious backgrounds and music backgrounds love it, man.
I think one of the biggest songs that rely not only our message to Jesus, but our message of hope, is definitely Conquerors. So trust me, I definitely suggest you check that out.
Nice. I will definitely do that. Can we play that one during this show?
Absolutely, man. I will send you that file if you need it.
Yes, please.
It is definitely hard hitting. It has a really good beat. It's driving and it has some sweet breakdowns.
Awesome. Looking forward to getting that one, getting it spinning on this episode. I think I'm gonna end it with this one, and if you guys could collaborate with one artist, dead or alive, who would it be?
Oh, that's a tough one.
The person that actually inspired me to play guitar in the first place, like, I probably wouldn't be playing today if it wasn't for Sinister Gates' Avenged Sevenfold. I mean, and Skillet. I can't think of the guitarist's name in Skillet, but...
Seth Morrison?
Yes.
It's Seth Morrison, yeah.
Like, honestly, the way the guitar is in Skillet and in Avenged Sevenfold is kind of what got me started on that in the first place. Nice. So I would love to either do either with A7X or Skillet.
That would definitely be killer. That would be pretty awesome.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Being able to perform with Skillet would definitely be a dream come true. Jen Ledger, you know, being one of the most prominent female drummers out there who also sings at the same time and has an amazing voice and a side project called Ledger. And also John Cooper, the lead vocalist of Skillet, having his side project, which is Fight the Fury, which is a little bit more intricate metal style of Skillet. Yeah, I think that would be incredible, man. They've really impacted me in my life. They've really, they have really, really pushed hard in the music scene. And like, it's just been incredible being able to learn from their example and see how they perform and do what they, a little piece of what they do. And a lot of people that see us perform, they actually usually say, the most common thing that they say is that we tend to have that vibe. We tend to have that vibe, a mix between Breaking Benjamin and Skillet, twisted together, if you will.
That's a good combination too.
Yeah, you know it.
Well, guys, thank y'all so much for sitting in on the Mosh Pit.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having us, and God bless, man.
The Letter Black, featuring Trevor McNevin, Born for This.
I'm being questioned.